everybody. Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Metal Booth Band. Guys, very exciting show this week. Very exciting. Justin is not here. He's actually at Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
In Germany.
Yeah. Take Justin, Germany.
Well, I don't know. I have a couple of World War II jokes going around in my head, but they're just not fully formed. So we'll come back to them later on in the show. Now, I was telling you a little bit about this backstage. Yesterday, last night, I don't want to brag or anything, but you guys, I went to an exclusive Elmo event.
You're really raised in the hierarchy of fame, my friend.
Yeah.
So it was you, Gwyneth Paltrow... who was at the star-studded event?
I'll tell you who. Randy Jackson from
America. Wow, nice.
Yes, he was. And Elmo.
Wow. Yeah. Elmo?
Yeah, it was a launch party for Let's Rock Elmo, which is basically rock band Elmo. And it was me, a bunch of media-type people with cameras and stuff running around and asking people questions, and 50 screaming children running around at the top of their lungs, freaking out because Elmo was there.
Now you have a kid.
I do. Thank you for informing
me. Was your kid there screaming?
No, I didn't want her to go. Of course she was there.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
My kid. I have never seen her so excited in my entire life.
Does it hurt a little bit to see your kid, who you put so much time and energy into, more excited about like a fuzzy animal than you?
No, I don't want to say that. But yes.
Like a puppet Elmo or like a giant head Elmo?
Every single Elmo. There's tiny little Elmos. There's toy Elmos that were about a foot or two tall. There was a gigantic fuzzy character Elmo walking around. And then there was Kevin Clash, who does the voice of Elmo, doing the actual Elmo on stage.
Wow.
And then afterwards he came off with the Elmo puppet and ran around kissing all the kids.
Oh my God.
Yeah, not with the puppet though. He was just like full on tongued.
Wow.
It was weird.
Yeah, how did Penny get in on that action?
She did.
Nice!
Going out
her first kiss was Elmo.
Yes, oh, she freaked out. She had such a great time. Would you be like that if you went to a Punisher launch event and Punisher ran off stage and started running around and kissing everybody?
Like shooting kids is what I would want. I was like, shoot my baby!
Well, guess what? We're going to Let's Rock Punisher.
Yeah!
Very exciting. Guys, speaking of very exciting, we have an awesome show for you tonight. We have a great guest here. He is the host of an amazing podcast called With Tonight's Special Guest, Will Nunziata. Ladies and gentlemen, Will Nunziata!
Watch out for the
water right there. Because
hi everyone, how are you?
Good. Will, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. I'm excited to talk about the very limited knowledge I have of comic books.
Awesome.
Good. Well, we were talking about this a little bit backstage. What was your first comic book?
It was an issue of Punisher. And it was there was Punisher holding a baby on the cover and pointing a gun directly at it. And then I said, I asked my dad to get it for me. It was like in a newsstand. And
were you kidding about the baby?
No, he was holding a baby. I think it was called Maternity Ward. And it was Punisher holding a gun at me. And I was like, this is awesome.
This is awesome.
Did it really say maternity ward? Because there's literally no pun in there whatsoever.
In my memory, it's maternity ward like Punisher.
It should have been maternity war.
War. Yeah.
Or something like that.
But that was my first comic, and I had it delivered to my house.
Oh, man.
And then I discovered Punisher War Journal. And I was like, this is getting better and better and better. And because I love Punisher because I felt like if I was skinny and a Vietnam vet, I could be Punisher.
Right.
Because, you know, he's just a dude with guns.
Right.
And I like Microchip.
Oh, you mean power-wise, not just because you're crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Punisher crazy?
No.
Yes.
He's a normal person.
He's just, you know, a regular guy who is fighting a nonstop battle on crime and kills everybody mercilessly.
Hey, you blog for a living, all right? So don't make fun of the Punisher.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry.
Same thing.
So I bought Punisher, and then and there was a shitty flea market by my house, and there was a comic book store that opened up inside of it called The Final Frontier. And I had my first job and allowance money, And this guy stole all my money. Like, I remember, and this was all around the time of, like, Death of Superman and all that hullabaloo, and I bought Bloodshot on, you know, Image Comics with the chromium cover, Wildstar, and I was a big fan of Pitt for no good reason.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember he charged me, like, $70 to have, like, a page of it framed, and I had it hanging up in my bedroom.
Wow.
Was it an original art page, or did he just...
No, it was literally out of the comic book. I cut out one photo out of Wizard. There was like a Pitt hologram card that came with a Wizard, and I had that framed. And he's like, oh, dude, this is going to be a really nice piece. $70, you know, to pay my rent at the flea market for a month.
Wow. And that man was Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Well, so you stopped reading comics at a certain point, I imagine.
Yeah, I got... Yeah, it just became way too much.
Yeah.
And I stopped reading. And then my uncle gave me a box of comics from the 70s. And right now I am the proud owner of a near-mint copy of Hulk 181.
Wow.
And this is my question for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Is somebody said I should get it graded at Comic-Con in New York.
Right.
Could I do that? What does that mean?
Yeah, you should talk to Pete, because he, every Comic-Con, we go there, you know, we do work or whatever we're doing. He says, we check in, and he says, okay, I'll see you guys later, and proceeds to take a stack of hundreds and hundreds of comic books and gets them graded, including some of the worst comic books you've ever read in your entire life.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Why? Why would you do that? Well, if you're ever want to sell that 181... As years goes by, time to, you know, this kind of locks it and grades it for time, like seals it.
Right.
So it puts a grade, right, like 9.3 or 9.8 or whatever it is.
Ah, dream.
So if you ever sell online, if you go to look, someone will be like, near mint Hulk, $200. But if it's graded, you can charge more because there's no question to... You know,
but
like,
and when it's in that case, it stays...
Yeah,
like, what if I shake the case really hard?
That would be stupid.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
So, okay, Hulk 181, I'm just looking it up here really quickly. That's the first appearance of Wolverine. So, how much do you guys think it's going to be worth? What do you think?
Are you looking at...
My guess is $1,000.
$1,000.
Because I was going to sell it when... 500.
500?
I was going to sell it when Incredible Hulk and X-Men came out at the same time. But then I couldn't.
Well, I'll tell you what. This guy got it pretty right, because recently an Incredible Hulk 181 sold for $1,015.75.
Wow.
75 cents.
Yeah.
At which point there was somebody that said, okay, I'm going to bid $1,015.50. And the other guy said, 75 cents. And he said, I'm out.
I'm out. Too rich for my blood.
No, thank you. you should probably actually get that graded.
But here's my
question.
Actually,
you should give it to us, and we'll get it graded.
Yeah.
Is that the way to do it?
Mm-hmm.
How much does it cost, though, to have it graded? Because I couldn't understand the website. I have to join?
I'm going
to
pay... Pete will actually have the information. I'm just going to say this. Less than $1,015.75.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
But if it costs $300 to get it graded?
No.
Would it?
No.
What's the most that it would cost?
You're just getting one comic? Right?
One comic.
Yeah, the most it would cost is $10.
Whoa.
Really? And they put it in that plastic case?
Yeah.
And somebody looks it over?
Yeah.
And it's going to cost me $10?
Yeah.
If it doesn't cost $10, will you pay the difference?
No. Because when I was at the last con, they had like a specials where it was like $10 to get your thing graded, da, 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 da. So if that's over... I didn't want to, you know, didn't want to put my money where.
So you don't vouch for this deal?
No, but that's what the deal was at the convention.
You tell them you want the Pete LePage deal when you go to the con.
Comic Book Club Live sent me.
Yeah. All right, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Normally what we do here, if you're new to the show, and I'm guessing literally none of you are, we make a pick, something that we're particularly excited about. This week we have a couple of those. Since Justin isn't here, we decided free-for-all, right?
Yeah, free-for-all.
There we go. So let's talk first about Daredevil number 3. from Mark Waid and Paulo Rivera. Pete, what'd you think about this book?
Well, I'm excited about this because this is the first book where Daredevil wasn't a total douchebag.
Okay.
All right. So this is really
starting
to come around.
So this is just intro.
Around.
This is a thing that Pete's been wrong about for several shows now.
Yep. Depends on who you ask.
Everybody.
No.
I asked everybody.
No, you didn't. You didn't ask my mom.
I did. I called her up.
Nope.
Yeah. Should I have said I rolled over and asked her?
Oh!
I don't know. I don't know how these jokes work.
I was there.
Daredevil has been a douche to Foggy, which is very upsetting to me, because Daredevil's best friend has stood by him through all his bullshit of being evil and going through all the stuff. Foggy's always been there for him, and then he has the nerve to treat Foggy like shit, and I was like, fuck you, Daredevil. This is the first time in the new relaunch here where Daredevil's really kind of being like, hey, you know what? You're good to me, Foggy.
Yeah,
thanks.
And this is definitely the focus of this series.
Yep.
Is what's going on with Daredevil and Foggy and not literally anything else.
Right.
Okay.
Not all the
And
crime.
Foggy is the fat lawyer.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I read this book backstage after never reading. My only connection to Daredevil is a Ben Affleck movie.
Woo!
And, blind.
This pretty closely follows on the continuity of the movie.
Yeah. So he's blind. What's his superpower, though? Echolocation?
The rest of his senses are heightened.
Yeah. So his heightened reflexes, heightened strength, sure.
That's not a sense,
No, that's not true.
Can he smell really well?
He has heightened, like, height.
No.
He has heightened, like, eyebrow movements. Yeah.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
Each comic is heightened in intensity.
And you have to read it higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, this is really ironic because you're making yourself a deeper and deeper hole.
Right, exactly.
He lost his sight, so his hearing is smell.
Has smell ever come into play?
Yeah, sure.
What about touch? Does he do it and, like, have, like, serious orgasms? Because it's heightened? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Wouldn't that be true? Like, if it's heightened? Like, he feels it really well.
I don't know that his penis feeling was...
Has this not come up? How many years has Daredevil been in existence?
He's had sex with a lot of girls.
At the end, he's banging two chicks at a bar.
Yeah.
He's
there should be a whole plot line about how he premature ejaculates because it's too sensitive. Yeah.
How was that?
Think about baseball.
I don't know if you read Daredevil Born Again, but this whole thing about how he has to wear 14 condoms at the same time just 14. To dull his...
So I read this, and he battles a bad guy that's sound.
Right.
He's living sound.
Yes.
And apparently he came in for one issue and died. Maybe not. He's got an echo.
He was kind of introduced to the last blow... issue. He's been around for a while. They deal with a little bit of continuity stuff here. The thing that I think is actually really cool about that is he is a villain made out of sound, so Daredevil, who has these heightened senses, can't keep track of him properly. He can't fight him in the same way where it's, oh, there's three thugs. I have no problem with three thugs because I know where they are and I know what they're going to do.
This guy's sound. He could be everywhere.
This guy is sound. He's everywhere. He can't get a sense of
him. But the funny part is he outruns sound at the end, which I didn't think you could do.
And he looks like Kano from Mortal Kombat.
No, I don't get that.
This should be I could do Video Game Club really well.
Well, why don't you go on that show? Anyway, this is a great comic. Excellently written, great art. Can't wait.
Yeah, this is my favorite out of all of them so far.
All right, there you go. Let's move on to one of my picks, which was Demon Knights.
Yeah.
Number one. Yeah, there you go. Awesome. Now, the other two guys haven't actually read this, right?
Right.
No.
Yeah, this is different than Baywatch Knights, right?
No, it's pretty much the same thing.
Oh, okay, all right.
This is the best way of describing this. If you like Justice League, this is nothing like Justice League. But there's a team of characters who all have weird magical powers who meet in a pub and fight dinosaurs. That's essentially what happens in this issue.
Really?
It is crazy. From top to bottom, there is a nonstop barrage of insane stuff happening in this issue, but it's also very funny. You know, I've read a bunch of the comic books that have come out of this New 52. There's a lot of them that throw a lot of information at you like this that are not fun.
Thanks, man.
This is a lot of fun. It's really enjoyable. There's a demon baby who's shouting at people. You would love this book.
All right.
Yeah.
You had me a demon baby.
That was the last thing I said.
He had vaginal powers.
That was the last book.
Oh.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on and talk about our next book, which was Fear Itself, book number 6. Now, for those of you who don't know, Fear Itself is the big event going on in the Marvel Universe right now. Fear is being itself, and it'll do whatever it wants. Pete, what did you like about this book?
I liked the real touching father-son moment where Thor was in trouble and Daddy was kind of giving him a sponge bath and washing away his problems.
How many times has your father given you a sponge bath?
Never.
Aww.
You gotta call him up.
Call my dad. He'll give you a sponge bath.
Yeah!
What do you think of this book?
What I took out, this is issue 6 of 7.
Right. So,
and,
easy new reader entry point.
So, it was a little confusing. Asgard is falling down.
Hang on. What's your dad's phone number?
516-398-4366. Okay. Please give him a call. His name is Buddy, for real. What I took out of this is that Thor's dad's eye patch is pretty great. It's got a cool zigzag move, which normal eye patches don't have.
Right.
And who's this bad guy?
He is the serpent. He's the god of fear.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, you read the whole comic and all you got was eye patch?
No, that I really took that. And also, Aunt May has no idea that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Right.
Right.
But I thought she did know.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
See, that's what I'm confused about, because they keep rebooting universes and there's 18 different comics, like, for Spider-Man. Like, which is the best one? Like, if I wanted to get into Spider-Man...
Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
Or there's 12 others. Yeah. But
Spider-Man 2099. I remember I bought that issue.
Yeah.
Are those worth anything? No, not at all, right?
No, totally not. Amazing Spider-Man actually is really excellent pretty much every issue. Right now, the reason I hesitated, it's in the middle of a big crossover.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
He's like a young Spanish kid now, right?
No, that's Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh.
Don't read comics.
Yeah, don't run away.
All right, last thing we're going to talk about, totally new reader friendly.
Wait, I did want to say this was pretty awesome series. The Fear Itself as a Marvel fan has been pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. I wish it was moving a little faster. This issue is great. Really excited.
Moving faster?
Well, here's what
let's recap for a second. Everybody gets a hammer. Turns kind of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Captain America dies.
Yeah.
Then Captain America, the real Captain America, gets his shield crushed. Then Thor almost dies. And that's not enough for you?
What I'm getting is the series is mostly about tools. Cool. I really like this.
I'm a tool man myself. So.
You're Tim Taylor.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
The tool. Yeah, there we go. Stuart Amonin's art in this book is fantastic. This is some of the best. I'm just going to bend it. Okay. It is some of the best superhero art I think I've ever seen in any book ever. It's absolutely superb to look at. This issue feels like it's the end of a second act, which I think, it's building up. The villains are coming to
the penultimate issue here.
But it feels like it's the end of the second act, and it's, okay, now we're getting into it, and there's only one issue left, which is a little frustrating. It leads me to think they're not going to really tie everything up, or it's going to happen very quickly.
I have a question on how to read comic books properly.
Start with the cover.
Yeah.
You flip it open this way, and then you turn it this way.
No, that's wrong. No.
And then you stop reading it.
Alex, very funny, but I have a serious question. Is how much time am I supposed to dedicate to the words and the image? Like, how long should I just really focus on each panel? Because I just want to, zip. If there's no words on the page, I'm like, boom, let's move on. How long am I really supposed to have taken it?
Well, it really depends on, you just have to soak up everything that's happening. So for some people, it takes longer. Like, it takes me almost...
3 weeks?
3 weeks to read a comic, yeah. It's album, you can crank them out in a day. But it takes me 3 weeks.
It's actually an interesting question because I do think everybody reads comics differently at a different pace. That said, a good artist and a good writer will pace things out properly so that you are reading it the way they want you to read it.
Right.
But it happens differently with everything. There's a book by a guy named Rick Veitch called Can't Get No that... has the images tell the story actually about this guy in the wake of 9/11 sort of losing himself and going and finding himself again, and it's a very weird kind of mystical journey. But the text, when people talk, when they have the word balloons coming out of their mouth, it's all poetry that parallels what's going on with the images, but doesn't actually tell the story. So it actually does the reverse of what usually happens with a comic, where you're mostly reading the story through the images, and you're kind of glancing at the words as you're going to get a little more of the flavor. So there's different ways people play around with it.
That's good to know that that's opposite, because I feel like I really focus on the words.
Yeah.
And it's weird. The art is almost just kind of secondary.
Yeah.
To the words. Is that... But it's like an art medium.
Yeah. I'm more of an art. Words is secondary.
It depends. You know, if you're having a bunch of words, a really texty section, going up to a full-page splash, the good writer has done that on purpose. They've done word, splash, and they hit with some art. There's actually... Not to spoil anything, there's an issue of a comic book, an X-Men comic book that's coming out tomorrow that I actually have read that...
How did you read that?
What?
Yeah.
Time Machine. Anyway.
Let me take that for a spin. Just one time.
You're going to kill
it's
my
It's the
mom.
DeLorean that he drives here
every
day.
I do not want you to be my dad. Anyway, they do this really effectively where there's a conversation. It's just back and forth, closer and closer to the faces. Until they hit with this pause, and then you turn the next page, and they're just drag out fighting. And it's awesome. Sweet. It paces it out really nicely. Awesome. But...
Is this Schism?
Maybe. Ooh, I'm on the last book. Optic Nerve, number 12, from Adrian Tamine. Where are my Optic Nerve fans at? This book is great. This is actually one of my picks. I gotta be honest with you, I was sort of in this place where this was sitting on my shelf for about a week where I was going, I just don't have the patience for indie books right now.
For indie books?
Well, it's just gonna be all arty and wordy and whatever and just very heady, and I've been so tired and slamming through work that I just wanna relax with some entertainment. And then finally I said, fine, I picked this up. Yeah, so I was being a Pete. So I picked this up. This is awesome and hilarious and light and fun.
All right, first of all, fuck you. Secondly, I don't look at regular comics as dumb and indie as heady and smart.
But they kind of are.
They are smart.
Well, I'm not a comic book fan, but I know that that's true.
Thank you.
Like, I know that indie comics are smarter.
Yeah.
I bought Black Hole. You ever read Black Hole?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was awesome, but I felt like it's like, fine, I don't know if I'm smart enough to read this book. It's like, this is in black and white, it's serious, lots of words. And I remember lugging that to work every day. That's a big ass fucking book to bring on the subway and to like casually read while standing.
Dedication.
Yeah. It's dedication. I finished it. It was fucking awesome.
Anyway, this book is great. It's two stories by Adrian Tamine. One is laid out like a daily comic strip, but it's about a guy who invents a new terrible art form. And the second story is a little more serious, but also really interesting and a great character study about a girl who finds out that she looks exactly like a famous porn star and what that does to her life and how it kind of wrecks it a little bit. What did you think about this book?
I liked the first story a little bit more because the girl who looks like a porn star, that happens all the time, you know.
To you?
Yeah, yeah.
You look like Ron Jeremy, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. From the waist down. Anyways.
From the knees down.
Can I tell a Ron Jeremy story?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I have Ron Jeremy's autograph. I mailed away for it. It was $10. And
you had $10 and you were like, I want Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, does this story end with, and then he dipped his penis in ink and slapped it on the page?
No, sadly, but he did tell a great joke in it, where it was, my penis is only 3 inches from the floor, full with like ellipses to like wait for the pause. I thought that was pretty great. And then my mom saw it and she goes, oh, is that the guy who can suck his own dick? And I went, wow, thanks, Mom. Why do you know that? That's a little story.
That's a good story.
That's a good
story. What did you think of this book? Did you get a chance to look through
it? I got through the first few pages. I think it's funny. It reminds me of what I think American Splendor is.
but have never read it.
Yeah, and I feel, never. I saw the movie. Yeah. But I feel like for those podcast listeners at home, I kind of look like this main dude in Horticulture without the mustache.
Yeah.
Oh, so if you want to picture what I look like, it's that guy, complete with bald spot.
Aw.
No, it's true. I have a bald spot.
No.
I don't see it.
God bless your heart, Booth, man.
This is great. The other thing that I really like about this, it's a really nicely printed comic book. It's a great package. It's interesting to look at. There's a letters page in the back. There's a fun, winky page. Two-page strip from the author in the back where he talks about how he's totally stupid to be doing his own indie printed comic book. This is great. If you have never picked up any of Adrian Tumine's stuff, you can easily jump in right here. It has almost nothing to do with anything else he's done. Two fun stories plus a bunch of backup stuff. Definitely recommend it.
Yeah, it's definitely a great read.
Yeah. All right, and that's it for the stack. Guys. We are going to move off to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bang.
Booth!
Yeah, Booth Bang!
Who, if it is your first time at the show, again, probably not, but he lives in the booth.
Hooray!
Hooray! So, let's ask some questions.
Yeah, yeah. I really like this first question.
Oh.
If you had to replace a straight/white/male hero with a minority version, who would you replace and with whom?
I would probably replace Black Lightning with a white guy. give somebody else a chance, finally.
Oh, man. Come on, minorities.
Yeah.
This is a little weird, but yeah. I would like to see Batman as a black dude. I think that could be fun.
Yeah?
Or Hispanic would be fun.
Yes.
Batman.
Sure.
Well, why isn't Aquaman Asian? To me, that makes sense. Well, yeah. I don't know why. Sushi?
Okay.
That's my connection in my brain.
It's interesting because that started off non-racist and then it ended racist.
I don't think that's racist. Sushi, it's Japanese.
Yeah.
The fish. Aquaman talks to him.
And eats them?
And eats them?
Does he eat fish?
Can I tell you guys a quick story? Can I tell you a quick story? So I went on a honeymoon to Paris, and they, right by, and that's the end of the story. I went on my honeymoon to Paris. Near the Eiffel Tower, they have this weirdest museum I've ever been to in my entire life. It's the Aquarium Cinematique or something like that. So it's a Hollywood movie museum and also an aquarium.
Why would
but
you
not
go there?
Because we had a little extra time, but it was the weirdest thing I ever heard of. So it's literally, on one side of the hallway there's fish, and on the other side of the hallway there's Darth Vader.
Sweet.
And you're just walking through, and it's Hollywood fish, Hollywood fish. And then they have a thing where you can pet some fish at the end near the bathrooms.
Who pets fish? Are they in the toilets?
Namor?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think how to properly tell this, but there's this lady that comes up to us and is pointing at the fish and saying something in French. And
she's smoking?
And no, she was not smoking. She did not have a beret or a baguette.
Was she,
but
she
we realized after a little bit what she was asking in French is, where can I eat these? And the reason she was asking where can I eat these is 10 feet on, there was a sushi restaurant right next to the aquarium.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I like that.
It's fresh.
Anyway, it's delicious.
Fresh.
It was great. We just ran back through the whole thing, eating everything we could get our hands on. Good times.
All right.
Did that answer your question? There you go. All right, raise your hand. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Should Hollywood try to get more comic book writers to adapt works into screenplays?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
Fight! I want them to stay doing comic books. You know what I mean? Don't use comic books as a jumping-off point to somewhere else.
Well, that's where the question is.
I think it was leading towards that a little bit.
It was a producer.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Miller did a good job in Sin City.
I know.
Right? Is that the guy who wrote it?
No, yeah, he did.
He did do it.
He did a great job.
No, he did it.
The first one.
Yeah, he did.
The only one.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
That's kind of boring.
Get out.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, get out.
All right. I'm just kidding, you guys. If you want to talk about comic book writers going and adapting their stuff for movies, if you're talking about the Frank Miller thing, that's a different thing. There's the Marvel writers kind of work as a farm team meeting with the movie producers to talk to them about ideas, make sure it makes sense for the comic book audience and for the movie-going audience. People like Brian Bendis, Matt Fraction, Joe Quesada go in, and they talk to the movie producers about it. So I think that's a good
thing. What does that got to do with farming?
Oh, my God. Everything. You know, I'll explain when you're older.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Do you think it's a bad idea?
No, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just, you hate when good writers don't write anymore.
I think it's a little more difficult for artists than it is for writers. When you see an artist end up on the Hollywood side of things, you lose them for years because they're just working on concept art, on things that may never get seen. They're stuck in that world. It takes them a lot more time. They have a lot more revisions. As opposed to a writer, somebody like Brian Bendis can jump down, work for a couple of days on the Avengers movie, and then jump back to working on comics, and that's not quite as big of a deal.
Jump around.
Yeah, jump around, jump up to get down.
That's, I think you should have the original writer of the story just involved in the project somehow, just to give it some, you know.
Yeah, and make sure they don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, to give it some balls.
And on the other hand, I think having writers who understand that their text is not a Bible at the same time.
Ooh.
And I think a lot of the Marvel writers in particular seem to understand that, where they say, okay, you know what? This is a movie. We're making Thor the movie. It inherently has to be a little bit different than Thor the comic book.
Right.
But we want to make sure that it makes sense to comic book fans at the same time.
It's a tricky line to walk.
Yeah, it is.
Where you don't want to piss everybody off who's read the comics all these years, but you want to get new people involved.
Totally.
Yeah.
Cool. And then you get a great movie like Steel. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
What new TV shows are you looking for?
Oh, just in general? Two Broke Girls.
Are you serious? Who has it?
Revenge.
Revenge? What? That is those are the worst ads I've ever seen in my entire life.
They're terrible.
They're terrible. They're just a girl in a black dress, and I think her dress is supposed to be made of
thorns. Oh, it's like bats. It's like the dress is made of bats.
Thorns.
Or
bats and thorns. Like
bats and thorns.
Oh, no.
But it's just poorly photoshopped, and there's
revenge. But it's in
revenge.
The Hamptons.
I'd rather watch Whitney. Oh, than that.
You know what's weird is I thought I was watching a movie preview, and then it turned out it was an ad for a phone. You seen that Verizon phone?
Oh my God.
Where it's like this girl beating the shit out of robots, and I was like, I'm in. And then it was like Verizon, and I was like,
are you gonna go see that phone?
I'm gonna go see that phone, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So what TV shows are you looking forward to, Pete? Anything?
I'm just, you know, looking forward to next run of Community and 30 Rock.
Walking Dead,
I'm nervous about.
Hopefully they can realign it a little better for the season. I mean, the stuff coming out of it looks great, but the end of the first season was a little bit bunk, I think. Yeah. Did you watch it at all?
Yeah, that's the way at the end the lab blew up, and they're like, all right, we got out of there.
That was a close one.
Yeah. I like that actor, though.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Emmerich? What's his? I don't know.
Roland Emmerich?
Toby. I think it's
Toby.
But he's related to him.
Toby McGuire.
No, I think that show looks cool. And then I bought the comic book, and it's still sitting on top of my bookshelf.
So
I'm going to read it one day. It's very big. I can't bring it to work.
It is like the optic nerve of zombie books.
Yeah, and I'm a big zombie fan.
Yeah.
Have you guys read Zombies of Mass Destruction? Mm-hmm. That's a comic series that I bought last year. 6 issues.
I don't know.
ZMD? No one? Anyone hear of it?
No.
Did you make it up?
You guys in podcast land get Zombies of Mass Destruction. 6 issues. It's fun.
The U.S. drops zombie bombs on Iraq. Zombie fucking sweet.
I feel like there's not a lot of new series that I'm excited about. I mean, kind of like what you were saying. You guys have heard about how there's 2 entirely separate police procedurals set in a world where fairy tales are real. There's Grimm and also Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
And they're essentially the same thing.
But why not give Bill Willingham a TV show, you know, called
Fables? They tried to. ABC actually developed a Fables TV show. They got to a pilot script, and then they decided, oh, it's too expensive. So instead, they made the exact same thing, but cheaper.
Twice.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
And then it was upsetting that Lock and Key didn't get picked up.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, there's been rumors that MTV might pick it up, which would be amazing.
Hey, those
is that the guy with the big cape?
Yeah. I'm going to pick it up.
Yeah. No, it's something else.
Big cape? Superman?
There was a big comic book sci-fi show, a guy
called The Cape.
Was it called The Cape?
Ooh. No.
It was.
Here, I'll tell you something else that's terrible. Watch the first half of Terra Nova.
Not good?
The bad.
Jurassic
so
Park
bad.
TV show.
Worse than that. Worse
the dinosaurs
than Jurassic
look
Park.
Bad, right?
Yeah, worse than Sin City, if you can believe
Ugh.
It.
Ugh.
So it's what? Like a really good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right, raise your hand if you asked that. Free comics, let's get the next question.
Action Comics Volume 2, Number 1, thoughts?
It was okay. That was all right.
Was.
Yeah, I actually have mixed feelings. You didn't have it. I know you picked up a couple of the DC New 52.
Yeah, stuff. I'm going to start reading comics. So I got Detective Comics, Green Lantern this week. I'm getting Batman. Next week I'm getting Aquaman. And then I'm done.
And then
I'm just
going
to stick to those four. I heard Animal Man's really good.
Yeah. Animal Man's awesome.
Yeah, so I might get that.
Yeah. Demon Knights is fun. Plugging that.
See, the thing is, it's going to get so expensive.
Justice League.
It does. It's really, welcome to our world.
Yeah.
Good thing we're all rich.
About Action Comics, though, I feel a little bit conflicted about it. Don't remember whether we talked about it on the show or not.
We didn't.
No. I actually really liked a lot of the action in it from Rags Morales. I thought the art was pretty fun and good. There's some cool, exciting sequences. I thought Grant Morrison's dialogue was a little stilted. I wasn't really a fan of it. I felt like there was some confusing things going on in the book that I wasn't quite sure what was happening because it kept plopping us in the middle of the action pretty
so
much
So wait
constantly.
A second. You were reading a Grant Morrison book and you were confused? Weird.
This was erring on the side of the not-so-great Grant Morrison, I felt like. What did you think of it?
I wanted to be more excited than I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it more the second time through, I will say. Reading it again, there were other things that I picked up on that I missed the first time for the first read through. Because the first time it was a day, second time I took a whole week just to read the comic book, kind of lay everything out, do it Pete style.
Yeah, see? That helps.
Yeah, but conflicted. Raise your hand if you asked that. Free comics.
Woo!
Let's get the next question.
Is that it, Pete? Or?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Wrong time.
All right, we have
two more
questions.
With Thor getting a god weapon like the God Machine in Final Crisis, do you think Fear Itself with the world dying, a vampire watcher, and Thor remaking the world?
What?
Am I correct? Did I read everything correct?
Is this basically like Final Crisis?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a question last week. Isn't Fear Itself exactly like Blackest Night? So, and unless Blackest Night is also exactly like Final Crisis, which I guess is possible, then no. I think they're all different. I mean, they have different ideas. The same thing we said last week. When you have
the sword did have a Final Fantasy feel to it a little bit.
Fantasy is different than Final Crisis.
It's a video game.
Right. Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying. It kind of looked like the video game.
Yeah, it's a little more like
giant swords and they start running like this.
Yeah, that was a really exciting sequence of Final Crisis.
Yeah.
With any of these big crossovers, you're going to have similar elements because it's all about overarching evil in the world dying. There you go. Let's get the next
last one. Superman's underpants?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. And that's it for today's questions.
Underpants. It's all
no, they're bringing it back, aren't they? I read that.
No.
No?
They're gone.
No!
They took them off. They ripped them off of.
But they're magic.
Magic?
They're super. They're like, doesn't super. He get all this power from the sun in his underpants?
I think you're confusing some things.
All right, that might have been a Superman porn movie that I watched.
Guys, we're going to move on to the next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right. Bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to hit through a bunch of topics today. First one, this is going to be a big one for you, Pete. Pete, I don't know if you're ready for this. This is an event that happened earlier on today that got posted on Twitter right before the show. This is pretty big news, and I'm curious to hear where you're going to react to this.
Oh.
Greg Pak, who's a friend of the show.
Watch your mouth right now.
We've had him on the show a bunch of times.
Watch your mouth.
Writer of the Hulk for the past 5 years or so.
Some of the best Hulk
he's
writing of all time.
He's going to be writing Astonishing X-Men, wrote a bunch of other great indie books, a bunch of other books that he's going to be working on upcoming as well. What would you say is your favorite thing about Greg Pak?
His writing is unbelievable.
Right. Second favorite thing, then?
His humor.
Sure. Third favorite thing?
His last name.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was going to venture his beard, right? You guys are beard buddies, right?
We were beard buddies. Yeah, I shaved my beard.
Yes. Well, guess what? Greg Pak also shaved his beard.
What?
Earlier tonight, Greg Pak, due to a mishap with a razor, had to shave his entire beard.
Wow. I wonder if he looks like 12 years old now.
That's exactly what he tweeted.
Yeah.
I look 12 years old now. You guys are still beard buddies.
Yeah. I'm shocked. I'm interested to see what it looks like.
I'm curious to see
if he's going
to
be on the show soon, right?
Yeah, he is. I'm curious to see if all of his writing power was in his beard.
Yeah, I know. That sometimes happens. Yeah.
Have you ever had a beard?
I have. And then I've also had a shaving mishap. And it's terrible when you try to even it out. Yeah. And then it just gets lower and lower and lower. And then you look like...
what am I doing?
You look like a Street Fighter villain. And it's no good for anyone. And I can't go to work like that. I have to carry Black Hole. It's so gigantic. I can't go with a stupid beard now. I mean, who am I? I don't even know who I am with that.
Well, good luck to Greg Pak.
Has that ever happened to you? You ever had a mishap with your sideburns or something?
Yeah, actually, I think it was right before a show or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Where I decided to... they're kind of long, so I decided to shave them down. But I sort of wasn't paying... here's what it was. I remember now. So I have... There's the quarter-inch shaver, and you put that on so that it kind of trims them down a little bit. I forgot to put that on, so I just whole hog went right all the way up, and I stood there completely panicked for a second, looking at myself going, wait, what's wrong? Something's wrong with my face. What did I... Oh, my God. I only have one sideburn. What do I do? I can't grow it back that fast, but it shows tonight. So, and then I just...
would you have just been like... Grow.
You squeeze.
That usually works.
Yeah.
I just shaved off the other sideburn and nobody noticed. So it was fine.
Nobody noticed.
I mean, or everybody noticed. I got kicked out of the show, but I think that was unrelated.
I think it was very much related.
Yeah, the other shaving mishap I had was I think it was the first time I tried to shave. It's always this before shows. Was I was in my jazz band in high school.
Jazz band?
Yeah.
Are you serious right
now? Yeah, I played piano in the jazz band. And we were about to have...
You played
what? Piano.
Oh, wow, okay.
We were about to have our first show, and I had a little bit of peach fuzz on my lips, so I decided, you know what? It's a show, I'm going to shave. I didn't know how to shave. So I proceeded to take the razor and go like this. And had two sideways cuts across my top lip. Freaked out, didn't know what to do, proceeded to just wash it, which of course made it worse instead of knowing, you know, what to do in terms
bleeding
of
bleeding all over the piano.
Yeah, kept bleeding. Again, totally panicked.
Your dad never showed you how to shave?
I'll get to that in a second. The only thing I can think of doing is I pulled some Vaseline out of the cabinet and smeared Vaseline on my top lip. And it actually sealed it up. And again, as far as I know, nobody really noticed.
I think you made the jazz performance into like a noir show.
So I just had this horrible, bloody, greasy upper lip the entire time.
Oh, my God. It was shiny and bloody. Yeah. Nobody noticed.
Nobody noticed. Yeah. 2 weeks later, my father said, hey, I think I should teach you how to shave.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, thanks.
A little late on that one.
I've got this one. So anyway, that was my shave. Mishap. Let's move on. The schedule was announced today for New York Comic Con. Probably not all the programming has come out. It's a pretty packed schedule. One thing that I think most generally people that are pretty excited about, there's going to be some new Avengers footage that's going to be shown.
Cool.
And also some of the surprise guests are going to be there. So what's your theory? There's been theories flying all over the net. Who are the surprise guests going to
you
be?
You mean from the Avengers movie? Or
They just said surprise guests.
Punisher.
The Punisher is going to be
Dolph Lundgren as Punisher, and then the guy from Hung as Punisher, and then that third guy who was the best Punisher.
Wow.
That was the best Punisher movie, the third one.
Are you fucking serious?
That movie ruled!
Are you serious?
It was so much fun!
He had a blankie, and then he was like this, and then he went to sleep.
Which one did you like? The one with Travolta as the bad guy?
How many times did you see that in the theater? Pete, how many times did you see it in the theater?
Three times.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God!
But it had Jigsaw, who was my favorite Punisher villain, and it was so colorful, and the violence was amazing.
It was a lot of great
And
violence.
Microchip was in it.
Yep.
Still about. Everyone's favorite nerd.
Yeah, they should honestly get rid of the Punisher and just do a Microchip movie. And it could be about him calling the Punisher every once in a while. Being
just Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
A whole movie with Wayne Knight.
That would be amazing. Anyway, so I think we've established that three Punishers are going to be at the Avengers.
Another big news to come out. So we've been talking about DC's New 52 quite a bit. They're only in the first month. However, they're already planning far ahead. They've already released the December solicits, which I don't know if you know. This is, they have to release what's coming out, the news about what's coming out 3 months in advance so comic book stores can order stuff.
Right.
So they're already into the fourth month, well into the fourth month of comics. There have been significant changes in the creative teams that are coming out. There's a new writer on Static Shock. The writer of Green Arrow is not doing it anymore. There's multiple artist changes. What do you think about this? Is DC's New 52 doomed already, or is this just par for the course?
Well, I would just say it's par for the course. I mean, I don't know if there's always drastic changes to writers and artists, is there?
4 months in?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's not. They're not spinning it very well. But on the other hand, it may come down to they're just trying to keep everything on schedule, which they perennially have had huge problems with.
Yeah.
Or maybe those first books weren't that good, and they just want to get better people in there.
Some of those first books were not that good.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Static Shock and Green Arrow.
Yeah, I don't know who those guys are.
Yeah.
What does Static Shock do? It's literally, does he master static electricity?
Yeah.
Is that his thing?
It actually is a pretty good character. The first issue of it was pretty bad. But
just a lot of carpeting and socks.
Yeah. Well, he goes up against his arch enemy, the balloon.
Man, that battle sequence. Woo!
There is someone in Podcastland who's a huge Static Shock fan who is cursing us out right now.
Probably. I will say, again, if you go back and read old Static Shock issues or if you look at the cartoon, it's a lot of fun. This new series, not so much fun, so I do hope they fix it. Moving on, another DC New 52 news. This is big news around the net the past couple of days. Again, fourth month thing. There's a character coming up in Teen Titans who is a new gay character who's going to be on the Teen Titans. What?
And Hispanic.
And Hispanic.
Spider-Man.
His name is Spider-Man. His name is Bunker. And he has the power to make energy bricks or something like that.
What?
And he dresses really snazzily in a purple suit.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Well, listen, today was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And I'm going to get a little political.
All right.
It's about time we had a gay superhero that could shoot energy blocks.
Bricks.
It makes sense to me.
Just don't call him Bunker. Call him Shipbrick.
Yeah.
I got to say, that was my biggest disappointment with Bunker, was he didn't have a worse name for us to make fun of. I was really bummed.
There are.
I spent probably like 10 minutes
Luke Cage.
Being like, oh, what kind of puns can I make about Bunker? Luke Cage?
He's gay.
No.
Really?
Yeah, he has a wife and a baby.
Does he?
Speaking of beards. He spends a lot of time with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if aren't really.
Yeah. Iron Fist and Luke Cage.
Do you guys remember Marvel Masterpieces cards?
Yes.
Yeah. I had them all.
Yeah, that was actually all of them?
Yeah, I have the first series.
Really?
Mandarin. Is a guy named Mandarin.
Yeah.
Does he have a big Iron Fist? Is that Iron Fist?
No. He has 10 rings and he's a Iron Man villain.
Oh. Cool.
good talking to you. Moving on to entirely different news, having nothing to do with comic books. I don't know if you guys heard this news, but Disney World and Disneyland are launching an entirely new experience based on the movie Avatar that is going to be in parks, and they're going to be slowly launching it in parks all over the world. They're starting out in Disney's Animal Kingdom. They're going to take this part of it over and turn it into Pandora. What? Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, man, I cannot wait, dude.
Here's what I'm hoping for.
I hope that eventually it's going to evolve to where you can go and live the experience, where you go, you leave your body, and you
plug your head into an animal. Just, and
you come there, they slit your throat,
yeah.
And you become a tree.
Awesome.
What I'm really actually hoping for is that the way to get into it is you get in one of those giant mech robots.
Yeah.
And you walk around and you get this huge knife for no reason.
No reason, and you have a knife.
Well, because it looks cool, though.
Yeah,
it looks cool, but it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to go there?
Oh, man, no.
Well, isn't the whole thing with Disney and, like, don't they do 3D movies? Like, I remember when I went to Disney, I saw, like, A Bug's Life. In 3D.
No, they do 4D movies.
Oh, that's right, because they have shit in the seat that stings you. and like they spray water on you and
stings you.
You know, in the Bugs Life thing, it was like, oh, and here comes crazy bad hornet guy. He's coming out, and then a little like pokey thing hits you in the butt.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
I swear to God.
Are you should not get poked in the butt.
Yeah. Were there's a little thing in the seat that just pokes you in the butt.
No.
I'm sorry. Were you just hanging out with a crazy homeless man? Yeah.
Disney World's in the Village, right? Same Disney, right?
Yeah.
You got
John
check.
Disney. He's this big guy who pokes you in the butt. He wears Disney ears, is so right? expensive to get into now, too.
You got
to
check out the Avatar experience, though. Oh, it's crazy. They'll poke some crazy shit into you. Well,
just some guy ties me to his ponytail.
You know, I don't think we can top that. So that's it for the week. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
All right.
Yeah, Pete.
Martin, we'll get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. Unfortunately, what happens normally is we give away a $25 gift card. But because the pin had some flooding in the basement, we lost our gift card. So we'll have to give today's winner an IOU and a stack of comics. So what we'll do is we'll get your email, and then the next time you either come into the show or in the city, we'll meet up with you. And get
Pete, I will say you picked out the prime comics.
I did.
The stack.
I picked some great comics to give away. Who would like a chance to win $25 for $3? Ooh, two hands went up at the same time. I denied you last time, right?
Yep.
So let's get you out. I feel bad. Sorry, sir, but I said no to him last week, so.
All right, cool. So how this works is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get them all right, and you get a gift card later. But a really good stack of comics. Today's trivia is on his sketch show.
I hope you saw it.
It's called Dystopia Gardens. It's an amazing sketch show, an acclaimed sketch show, right?
Yeah, we got a nice write-up in the Times. You were probably there, so you're going to get all these questions right.
I was, but I was kind of like in and out, been a long day at work, and didn't really focus.
Fair enough. These are easy questions.
Yeah.
You should get it. It's all about this.
Okay.
Sketch show takes place in the future.
Okay. Dystopia Gardens, the sketch show, is a love letter to dystopian movies. Which is not a dystopian movie? Is it A, Logan's Run, B, Demolition Man, or C, Heathers?
I'm guessing C.
C is good!
Yeah!
Oh, okay. Nice job. All right. In the sketch show, two actors play 20 characters, which is not a character that appears in the show. Is it A humanoid that a humanoid shit-eating robot, A, B, an over-cloned dictator, or C, Guido's from Jersey? So it's either A, B, or the correct answer, which is C.
Guido shot first?
What's that?
Guido shot first?
Yes, exactly. I'm seeing a pattern. I don't know if you guys are. Okay.
What's the pattern?
Good question. All right, here we go. Last question. Focus up. Which scene won't you see if you go see Dystopian Gardens? Will you see a sex dance with glowing connection tubes? Would you see a Les Mis ripoff? Or C, gardening tips?
C.
Correct! Again! Congratulations, Mr. Sack. I hope you enjoy them. And then we'll get your email after the show.
All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to have to say Batman.
Number one.
Scott Snyder. Ripped up Detective Comics. I mean, just did an amazing job. I'm nervous to read this first one. I hope it's amazing.
You'd say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on, don't pretend.
I saw a little bit of a teaser. It's unbelievable. unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I cannot tell you. I got when I was done reading the comic, I stood up and started clapping. Like it was a play. It was unbelievable.
He started reading it 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Just finished tonight.
Yeah. I took off my glasses and I was like, wow.
I'm totally going to back that up. Batman number one is amazing. Fantastic first issue. Probably next to Animal Man as my favorite of the new 52 so far. I'll also say Daredevil number four, which is the first issue with Marcos Martin on art. Paulo Rivera has been ridiculous on the art. Marcos Martin is even more ridiculous. The series is amazing. It's been fantastic for four issues in a row, so can't wait. Will.
I'm looking forward to Kazar number four. It's a Marvel book.
Yes.
He's like Tarzan, I heard.
From me backstage when you said, what is Kazar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his name, so I'll actually go out and buy that book.
Really?
Nice. Yeah. That's dedication.
Yeah. I'll check out, and I'm going to get Kazar 1, 2, and 3. I'm loaded. I'll get it. And I'll get it at Midtown Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Now, Will, plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
Dystopia Gardens just wrapped up, but I have a podcast every week. It's called With Tonight's Special Guest, Will Nunziata. It's a late night talk show where I am always the guest on the couch, and I have a new comedian interviewing me. check it out at WTSGWN.podbean.com. With Tonight. Do a search for my name, Will Nunziata. You'll find it.
It's CompuServe.prodigy/AOL.
Yeah.
GeoCities.
Yeah.
At Gmail.
Cool. Guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check out our website at comicbookclublive.com. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Pete.
There is a friend of us on Facebook. That way you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. And there is a drink and draw coming up soon. Don't know when it is yet. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Just email Pete. He'll let you know.
Yeah.
Guys, a couple of things. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Will for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Keep back.
But
most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.